Welcome to Connected, brought to you by He's Alive. For the next half hour, join Tim and Sharon Colasino and friends as together we consider how to motivate one another to love and to do good works. Get ready to be inspired and equipped at Connected.
I'm excited to have with me today on Connected, Reverend Bill Preston. He is the Associate Pastor of Everlasting Covenant Church in Fairmont, West Virginia. Also an awesome teacher and evangelist. Bill, welcome to today's edition of Connected.
Always a joy and a privilege to be with you, Brother Tim.
I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about today, the subject of revival. And of course, we know what Psalm 85 and verse number 6, it talks about revive your work in the midst of the years. And so I'm excited that God's about to do that right here on planet Earth.
Praise the Lord. I am too.
Praise God. Stay tuned. We'll be back with our special guest today on Connected, Reverend Bill Preston.
My hands up to the Father, gave it all to Him that day, felt anew and kissed my face, walked away, eyes wide open, could finally see where I was going. It didn't matter where I'd been, I'm not the same man I was then. I got off track, I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost and lines get crossed and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand. There I was, now here. That I could take it all back. I just want to tell them that. Tell them that I got off track. I made mistakes. Backslid my way into that place. The souls get lost and lines get crossed and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees. Now here I stand. There I was. Now here. Better, more smile.
I'm back with my special guest today on Connected, Reverend Bill Preston from Monongah, West Virginia. Bill, tell us a little bit about your ministry as an evangelist and as a teacher, and then we'll go into today's topic of discussion.
Well, God called me into the ministry in 1973 as a part-time pastor in the United Methodist Church. But then in 1980, God led me out into the evangelistic field, and I've had the privilege to preach in about 145 churches in two different countries. He gave me the ability to write a book entitled God's Ability in You. And recently, God has really re-emphasized the need of gathering in the harvest. So that's where my heart is today. And the necessity for the church to awake out of sleep, to realize the times that we're living in, is so critical that we realize God's prophetic plan being fulfilled right before our eyes.
Praise God. You know, when we talk about the subject of revival, I shared a message in a three-part series at Father's House here in Grantsville, Maryland last year, Hungering for Revival. And I got this scripture from Haggai 2, verse number 9. The Bible said, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts." That's the beginning of revival.
Amen. You know, Brother Tim, in 1941, when Japan attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor, that Sunday morning, when our military, most of them were sleeping, but a sneak attack came against them, and we experienced a devastating defeat. And when the Japanese aircraft returned back to the ships, and they went into the Japanese commander to report to him, they told him, "We have an overwhelming victory." But the Japanese commander, he made a statement that I believe really refers and relates to the church today. He said, "I believe that all that we have done is arouse a sleeping giant."
Yes, yes.
And you know, the church today is a sleeping giant in America.
Yes.
For the last 50 years, the church has been mainly asleep. We have allowed a lot of things to happen in this nation. I remember back in the 1950s, when churches were full, when the gospel was accepted, that even people that did not even believe in God, yet they acknowledged that God was the God of the Bible. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But something happened in this nation. President Kennedy was assassinated. The God is dead message began to be propagated. Humanism was accepted in our schools.
Yes.
Prayer taken out of the school. The Bible prohibited in the school. And Satan came in like a flood into this nation. Where was the church? The church was asleep. I read an article recently in the Fairmont Times by Cal Thomas. And he talks about ISIS, this Islamic fanatical group, and how they are slaughtering people over in the Middle East. And he talks about the commander of the American Special Operations in the Middle East, Major General Michael Nagata. It is reported he is seeking help in learning why the Islamic State is so dangerous. You see, we do not understand Islam, their philosophy, their mindset. If he doesn't know, what does that say about the prospect for victory over these radical terrorists who seek to destroy everyone who disagrees with them? So we here in America are trying to understand, how do you face an enemy such as this? We've never been in a war like the war that we are in today.
That's right.
But this is where the church comes in. We have to realize that this is a spiritual battle that we have to fight. This is where the church must enter in to this arena of spiritual warfare and begin to fight.
That's right. Praise God.
Our nation, our military, doesn't have the answer. But praise God, we have the answer. Jesus said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." We have those keys at our disposal.
That's right.
And unless we are aroused. You know, when we look back at America in World War II, our nation was aroused and we came together to fight the Japanese and the Germans. But also the church was aroused.
Yes.
And
yes.
The church began to pray. The church began to fast. The church began to seek God. The church began to cry out to God. And God sent us a great revival.
Yes, praise God.
But following that time, entering into the 1950s, the church went to sleep. And these other elements began to come into our nation, crept in, and has led our nation away from God while the church was sleeping.
Yes. You know, Bill, I'm thinking of the Word of God here. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verses 22 and 23, some folk may say that, well, this has nothing to do with revival. Well, it does with personal revival. Revival begins with us. In Galatians 5, and verses 22 and 23, the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. When we live those things out such as that, we have personal revival. And we want to understand that revival happens in two different ways in the Bible, both personally with your individual self and then corporately in the body of Christ across this nation through denominational barriers. We need to see God pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, like he said in the book of Joel.
Amen. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 13, he said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Praise God.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Yes.
The night is far spent.
Yes.
We're living in that night season just prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is at hand. Not salvation from sin, but talking about the rapture of the church.
Yes.
When Jesus comes and that great work is fulfilled within us and we receive our glorified body. But until then,
yes,
we have a fight.
Absolutely.
We have a work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we do it, we're going to lose our nation.
Absolutely.
The enemy has come in the form of communism, humanism, and now Islam is gaining a foothold in our nation. And we must arouse out of sleep. We're here today to arouse the church.
That's exactly right.
To shake the church. God is shaking the church today.
You know, that old song says, I have power, power, wonder-working power. And it's in the precious blood of the Lamb. We're talking about revival today on Connected with our special guest, Reverend Bill Preston. Bill, you know, the Greek word for revival is C-H-A-Y-A-H, and I'm sure you know that. And it means, I'm saying this for the listening audience, it means to sustain life, to be restored to life or health. And of course, we know in Exodus 15:26, God told Moses, I am the God that healeth thee. Not only can we receive healing for our physical bodies, but there's healing for this nation, like you're talking about. 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14, we know that scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do those things, shall humble themselves, shall pray, shall seek my face, and fourthly, shall turn from their wicked ways, then, and you could say this, and only then, will God hear from heaven and will forgive our sins. Amen. And heal our land. To me, that's a nation within a nation. That's a remnant, the called out chosen ones.
Absolutely. And the answer, Brother Tim, begins at the pulpit. The preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto
salvation.
Come on, brother. We need preachers that will preach the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, how he broke the powers of evil and darkness. And wherever that message is preached, there is liberty, there is freedom.
Yes.
That message is going out around the world today.
Praise God.
Even into those Muslim countries, multitudes are accepting Christ as their Savior. Communism is overthrown by the preaching of the cross. And we have to realize that our battle, as Paul said, is not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
But against these evil demonic spirits that have come in to America.
Yes.
And using men through the vain philosophies of men and false doctrine have sowed those seeds. Now we must combat that with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And that's the only thing that has power out there, friend. Romans 1:16, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned these words down. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. It is the dunamis, the dynamite of God, unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." Paul also said in First Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel."
Amen.
"And not with words of wisdom, lest," or for the fear of, "the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." We need a Holy Ghost revival.
Praise God. And, yes, we do.
And we need, Bill, for people, men and women of God who've been called and been sent. Like that old saying said, some are called and some are sent. Some just bundled up and went. We need those people that are sent by God to stand up and take a stand and no longer to take a seat and preach the Word of God without fear of men and without compromise.
Praise God. You know, just talking about the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, I sense the power of the Holy Spirit right here today.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit will not work outside of the message of the cross. And that is what we must preach. Praise God. That's what I heard so many, many years ago. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Praise God.
Praise God.
And I've seen that message break the bondage of people's lives and set the captive free multitudes of times.
Praise God. We're going to be back here in just a moment. We're going to be praying over your needs after this song. So stay tuned.
Love.
I'm back with my special guest today on Connected, Reverend Bill Preston. What an awesome man of God. We have been talking about the subject of revival and how God that is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh in these last days. And Bill, you know, several prayer requests have come into the station this week. I'm thinking of a man who had had over 40 surgeries, and he's still around. And he's been calling every week and asking us to pray, and he says he's getting better. And we so appreciate that when we pray here at Listener Supported He's Alive Radio, periodically throughout the day we have prayer times. Folk in the tri-state area, Maryland, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, over the internet at he'salive.net, around the world, these prayer requests come in online, and we pray over them. And the Bible says there in the book of James, the 5th chapter, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I believe God's going to answer prayer as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Would you lead us, please?
Oh, hallelujah. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being, we acknowledge you as God. You are the awesome God, the almighty God, the prayer-answering God. And you love people today. You gave your Son Jesus to demonstrate your great love. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for Calvary. And we know that out of the cross comes life. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the healing power of God would go out over the airways this morning. And Father, wherever that sick person may be, we pray the healing power of Jesus Christ would quicken their bodies. In the name of Jesus, we claim healing. We speak healing. We will accept nothing else but healing from the great healer. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that your grace is sufficient to meet every need. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. And if you were touched by the power of God in Pastor Bill Preston's prayer time right now, we just ask you to phone us up during regular business office hours, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Somebody will pick up the phone, take your call, rejoice with you that you've been healed in the mighty name of Jesus. There's also a place online at he'salive.net. That's H-E-S-alive.net. Leave your testimony there, and we want to hear what God has done in your life. Bill, thank you so much for being with me today on Connected.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Tim.
Thank you for tuning in to Connected. Remember, the views expressed on this program may not necessarily reflect the views of our staff or the hosts of this program. Connect with us at he'salive.net or at He's Alive, P.O. Box 540, Grantsville, Maryland, 21536.